Well, good morning and welcome to our service of remembrance this morning. A number of notices. First of all, a welcome to the Reverend Bill Ross, who will be taking the service this morning. And Bill is going to come down and join us shortly. There's quite a lot of notices on the sheet today. I just want to draw attention to two or three things that are not there. Well, first of all, as you know, there's the memorial service is taking place in Lambride at 12:15 and then at Urquhart at 2:30 at the War Memorials this afternoon. A couple of other things we should have had in the bulletin, that's my oversight, but this evening is the final session of our Life Explored course, which is in St Margaret's Hall in Urquhart at 7:15 for coffee and cake and 7:30 for the actual start of the session. So for those who've been before, and even if you haven't been before, and even though it's the last one, if you want to come along, you'll be very welcome up there this evening. Just a reminder, please, to elders and visitors that there still are some of the information to go out about the Giving Day, which is Saturday the 17th of November, and also about data protection, and it's important that these go out in good time, so the information is there to be picked up. And finally, before we start our service, one sad piece of news. Mrs. Aveline Meldrum, who's the mother of Anne Laing, died very suddenly and unexpectedly last night. So we need to remember the Laing family, particularly in our prayers at this time. Thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to be here again, especially on this very special day. I thank you for coming, and we trust that as the things we do and say will be in respect and proper in remembrance of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, that we can actually be here free today to do this. We open our service by coming together in 161. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. We will lift up our eyes into the hills as we remember those who lie among the green hills, which were not for them the hills of home. We remember those that went down to the sea in ships to do business in great waters, And we remember those who rest in the deep until the sea gives up her dead. The heavens declare the glory of God, and we remember those who left the familiarity of earth to fight and die in the loneliness of the skies. Almighty Lord, maker of heaven and earth, of sky and sea, we give thanks for the freedoms which we enjoy in the world around us today, and we remember in gratitude and humility those who paid the ultimate price for that freedom. May the wreaths which we lay be not only a sign of our memories, but also a commitment by us to further the cause of freedom, justice, and peace in our community and our world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we say these things as we join together in the prayer which he taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's reading is from John 15, verses 1 to 17, and you'll find it on page 1083 in the Pew Bibles. It's the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you. Could I ask you please to be upstanding? they shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Please be seated, friends. One of the things of us, did you notice in the silence what a silence is? I don't know if we could ever actually appreciate what it must have felt like, that silence after the carnage that had been around them. You know, Wilfred Owen says, McCrae, who wrote that poem, says, for 72 hours there'd been a barrage, 72 hours, and then silence like this. We just don't appreciate what we have and what we've got. And so the challenge is for us. We'll continue our worship by joining together in 528. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Let's bring our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, on this Remembrance Day, we come in gratitude for all who have died that we might live, for all who endured pain that we might know joy, for all who suffered imprisonment that we might know freedom. Turn our deep feelings into determination and our determination into deeds, that we will live for peace. Father, we know that your only Son died a lonely and painful death on a cross. He was placed in the tomb, but from that cross and from that grave, there rises one who claims all the world's dead as his own. He was the Saviour of the world, but he was Mary's child. And we remember all mothers whose memories of war and bombs and bullets in many other places and many other times, mourners of all the war dead. Speak to them the words of Christ. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He was the Saviour of the world, but Peter knew him as his friend. Comfort all those who mourn the loss of their friend. He was the Saviour of the world, so we pray for all who need a Saviour, for the lost, the sick, the needy, for our own dear ones. He is the Saviour of our world, and so our lives belong to him, with the lives of our dear ones whom we no longer see. Grant that when the day of the Lord shall break and the shadows flee away, we shall meet with them and all those redeemed in your presence, where there will be a fullness of joy forevermore. God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the church and all mankind his love and protection, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The next hymn is Eternal Father, Strong to Save. At one time in a church I did a give me your favourite hymns, and one lady gave me this, and so they had to come up and give a little talk as to why it was their favourite. And it turned out that her father was actually the commandant of Dartmouth College, Naval College, and so she was brought up, she said, just before the war started. And so what stuck in her mind was all these young men passing through the college who would be singing this, and they were never sure if they'd be coming home. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bade the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep.
Today we are remembering. That's the past, and it is right and obviously fitting to do so, but we have a responsibility to be looking to our future as well. And as many of you know, this church has been vacant for just over 2.5 years now, we have continued to work together well as a congregation served by a team of ministers who come and lead us, and many of us have taken part in helping in the life of this congregation. It is with grateful thanks that the nominating committee have had a sense that the congregation has been praying much for our future. And we do give thanks that God is good, and I'm delighted to be able today to say we have some positive good news. There are ministers who want to come and serve in this country from outside Scotland, and the Church of Scotland has a process called familiarisation, whereby ministers from overseas come and serve for 1 year in a placement situation. They're supervised and mentored by someone in the local area, and at the end of that period, they're in a position to apply to any vacant charge in Scotland. A number of weeks ago, the nominating committee here were approached by the Church of Scotland's head office in Edinburgh, and we were asked to consider whether we would be willing to take someone on this placement. Maybe this was a bit of a surprise to us, maybe not the path that we thought might be for us, but we have given it much prayerful consideration, and we've had a lengthy Skype conversation with the individual suggested, and your nominating committee were unanimous in recommending this path to the Kirk session. And on Wednesday evening, the Kirk session met, and they, as a body, were wholeheartedly in agreement of the rightness of this decision. So, let me introduce Reverend Atty Van Wyk. Atty is from South Africa. He's been serving as a minister in the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa since 2005. He's worked both in the Bloemfontein, in the city setting, and in a rural setting of Craddock and Hofmeyr, that's in the Eastern Cape, if you know much about South Africa. Atty has sent us some pictures of his present church and congregation. Rural setting, diverse congregation. The nominating committee are very struck by Atty's sense of calling. He spoke much about his own faith and call to ministry, but also he has a really strong sense of call to Scotland, to serve in Scotland. So the plan is he'll be coming here to Lambrieden Urquhart, joining us in February. He'll live in the manse under the supervision of our interim moderator and also local minister Jenny Adams. On Friday, Atty recorded this message for us, so just a couple of minutes he shared with us.
Dear fellow believers, I want to thank you that you are willing to take me in as a friend in Christ, and I look forward to collaborate with you, as you say in your parish profile, to love, to serve, and to know our Lord Jesus Christ, to serve one another, and to serve our community. Thank you for your prayers during this time, and know that I'm also praying for you. I would like to live with you, I would like to learn from you, and when I say learn from you, obviously it's intended to learn about the activities of your parish, also of the Church of Scotland, but including some Scottish culture. I would also like to serve with you and share some skills where possible. Although it's still more than a month before Christmas, I would like to end off by saying that I will keep on praying for you and our journey ahead. Please do the same. And then a South African Christmas greeting in one of our 11 official languages, which goes like this: Geseënde Kersfees, and it's freely translated, meaning have a blessed Christmas. It reminds us that God is with us, the blessing that came upon Mary by by the angel, the words of the angel, you are a favored one because God is with you. In Luke chapter 2, where the angels say unto the shepherds, peace be with you. And then the same scripture witness that the glory of God shone around them. So when we bless one another at Christmas time, know it's a prayer, it's a reminder that you are a favored one, that the presence of God is with you, that God is inside of you through the work of His Holy Spirit. Till we meet again, all of the best. Geseënde Kersfees. Have a blessed Christmas. Goodbye.
And just before we have our prayer for the future, I think all of us owe a huge thank you to Fiona, not just for bringing this news to us this morning, but for her work in convening and chairing the nominating committee over the past 2 and a bit years. She's done it diligently, wisely and prayerfully, and we have been led to this day. So let's pray for our future. Father God, in the light of what we've just heard and seen, the only thing that we can say is thank you. Thank you for the way in which you've made it clear to Atty that you're calling him to minister in Scotland and have made that possible. Thank you for the way you've guided our nominating committee and Kirk Session to this decision. Thank you for the new chapter in the life of our congregation that now lies before us as we look forward to our time working together with Atty. Thank you, above all, that as we've made our prayers here and in our own homes week by week, you have heard and heeded them and given us an answer to our prayers that we wouldn't have imagined. As we now look forward, we ask that you'll continue to prepare us here in Lambride and Urquhart and Atty in South Africa for the time that we will spend journeying together in future. We ask that this will be a fruitful time, a time in which we'll learn from one another, share with one another, and serve you well together in the task you've given all of us of building Christ's kingdom here in our community. In our act of remembrance this morning, we sang not only that you have been our help in the past, but that you are our hope for the years to come. And our hope is indeed in you, O Lord, not in ourselves, not in Atty, but in you. And we thank you that you're helping us to learn that hope in you can never end in disappointment. So, in that confidence, we bring all our thanks and all our requests to you, and we do so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
You won't know this, but we were married in June 1966, and by the Christmas we were in South Africa. I was working as a joiner, and we were there for 3 years. And we used to go to the next village along. Our village had a gold mine, which was still a small village, but we used to go to the next one along to Nigel to worship. And it was interesting because it was a link to home, but it was also a link to the locals to come. And so I don't know this man at all, but I would know that living where he is in Bloemfontein, this will be next to heaven if he comes here. There's no disturbance, there's no segregation, there's no animosity, and I'm sure that if he's seeking and you're seeking, the Lord will bless it and keep it. If we then take our next hymn, which is 557, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depth it flow, may richer, fuller be. Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is open to us today. And for that freedom, we thank you. So as we open your word, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts, that we might hear and believe in him whom you've sent, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. So what is Jesus asking us? What is it that our faith demands of us? As I've loved you, love one another. But love's a very difficult word to pin down, isn't it? There's the love we have for our parents, for our brothers, our sisters, for our wife and husband, for our children. When the international rugby's on and we're playing that team from south of the border, how do we describe love? They all mean different things. So what is Jesus actually asking us to do? Is he saying that everybody we meet and disagree with, we put our arms round and say, oh, we love you? He's not saying that, not at all. What he's saying is, I gave my life so that you, my followers, could be right before God. It's his sacrifice which allows us to come before God without fear. But every life is God-given. Therefore, anyone who's given their life in the pursuit of freedom cannot be taken for granted. I did a remembrance plaque in St. John's Church for Special Forces and Airborne Forces, and one of our very good friends is Charlie. He's about Alistair's size, and he wanted to box heavyweight for the Army. But I did this greater love as well. And when I spoke, I says, now, I could not say to Charlie, Charlie, I love you. Because if I did, I'd have to be one or two things. Fast on my feet, or ready to go to Perth Infirmary after he hit me. Because men don't say that kind of thing, do we? But what are we meaning? You see, the paradox is, if humanity is perfect, then surely each generation would learn from those who'd gone before them. So greedy, power-hungry men and women would be seen for what they are, so the world would be at peace. But we don't. We're not. As we join together on this Remembrance Day, I'm sure there are various mixed emotions. On the one side, there are those whose people were involved in total all-out war. They had their lives broken, destroyed, loved ones, family, friends killed. Their homes could be destroyed. People to them who were very, very real, very painful. So much so that people who normally would be found in church could not come on Remembrance Sunday. They want to be alone. They want to walk up the hill and just think of their own thoughts. There are people who were once young, who had that youth taken from them. They came home with terrible burdens to bear, loss of limbs, loss of sight, loss of their peace of mind. I'm also aware that with the passing of each year, what seems as the main events of our remembrance, World War I and II, there are generations rising that have no idea what we're meeting for. Younger generations in Cubs, Scouts, Boys Brigade, Brownies, Guides, who know little of what happened, to whom it all seems far away in a different time. They have a difficulty because the world we live in has changed in the last 50, 60 years. Once we lived in isolation in the United Kingdom because of limited transport, limited communications, but now with supersonic flight, that email thing that I'm trying to get the better of, which gets the better of me every day. You know, you can talk to relatives in Australia every night, like they're sitting in the next room. What used to be the common market and that way of life, with all its machinery for working together, so that there are younger generations who are wondering what we talk about nationality. So when they hear people talk about the Cold War or the Berlin Wall, what does that mean? And they rightly ask, why are we doing these things? The things we do today need to be clarified for them in such a way, not to glorify war, but to praise sacrifice. Younger generations need to be reminded that there can be an ultimate price for freedom which could be demanded of each one of us individually. A man called Richard Niemüller, who was in the First World War a submarine commander and then turned, he said, when they came for the communists, I did nothing. I'm not a communist. When they came for the Liberal Democrats, I did nothing. I'm not a Liberal Democrat. When they came for the trade unionists, I did nothing. I'm not a trade unionist. When they came for me, there was nobody left to help me. Living in a democracy, as we do in Scotland, we talk about freedom, the need to let everybody do their thing. Yet the fullness of what that really means is not fully appreciated, because we as a nation have never been conquered within living memory. Unlike many of the nations like Germany or Holland or Belgium or France, we lived in Holland for a time, and we said to the locals, you know, what was it? They said 1941 was the year we ate the bulbs. It was so bad. We've no idea what that means, to have our freedom taken from us. But we cannot assume. We have to check every day, all day, because the pain, the agony of a loss of a wife, a mother, a father, a son, is the same all over the world. Loss is not diminished because you're on the good side, the side that won. We have no monopoly on pain because we think God is on our side. We need to remember that God is only on our side when we do God-like things. We lived in Germany for a small time, and we were out walking one day, and it was just a small wood, and we came upon, it must have been about 20 graves, but they were just wooden crosses. And when you looked at the age, 13, 14, 15-year-old, getting near the end of the war, the SS just grabbed them and pushed them forward. The history of the world has always been written by those that won. It's never by the ones that lost. A man called Hengel said, the only thing history teaches us is we do not learn. Now, we may not be able to relate to the people of Germany or Japan or the Middle East, but please, for a moment, try to think about the pain of those who, like you, have walked the floor night after night, wives, fathers, sons, lovers, husbands who were far away, and they didn't know where it was happening to them. It's interesting how things, life changes you. It was only when our two sons were in the Middle East in Market Garden that I realized what it must have been like for my mother to have my father and then me in the 60s in the Middle East on active service. Because if we can, then on the authority of God's word, we'll be comforted. You know, if you listen to the rhetoric sometimes, especially the old, it makes you cringe. For remembrance to work, it cannot be locked into the past. It has to be today, tomorrow, the future. What we need to know is God is not asking us to forget. He asks the opposite. He demands that we forgive, but we learn from the experiences we do not forget. So that while remembrance started off as a day of being, we thank God for those who gave their lives for the common good in the major conflicts of World War I or II, or Korea, or Malaya, or Aden, or Somalia, or Serbia, Afghanistan, Iraq, today, tomorrow. We need to know that the next major conflict, there is not one army dressed in one uniform and another army dressed in another, totally different from World War I. There will be no major tank battles in the desert where Monty and Rommel. There will be no sea battle with the great destroyers. Have you noticed in the news the major casualties now in any unrest? The highest proportion of them are civilian population. It's a war of attrition against the civil population. Have you noticed how ethnic cleansing has become an accepted part of everyday speech? But it's men and women and families and homes and communities being torn apart. A man called Freire said, for evil to triumph, it's only necessary for good men to do nothing. Which has to remind us that to fight evil, we're all required to take our God-given part in the community, in the nation, in the world around us, more than ever because we live in a global community. You know, I think we're living in a time where it seems the main emphasis seems to be on I want, I am need. If everybody does that, then it's believed we'll be happy. But look around you. It's not working. Why is there so much civil unrest, bitterness, resentment, so many phobias? You see, freedom's a difficult thing to define, isn't it? Does it mean that I can do what I want for me? No. To live in Great Britain in a Christian democracy, we all have to give up a little of total freedom to live in the accepted norm around us, which has been there since the Magna Carta was signed. And when we do that, then it brings us the protection of the society in which we live. That seems like a reasonable way to do things. That's what law means. All fighting may finish up being done with guns and bullets, no. But before it got to that stage, it had to pass through the form of government. And it's going to take immense courage to stand for individual rights more than ever before. Young people, in particular, will have to guard the freedoms and the privileges which those fought for. One of the main functions of youth has always been to challenge their peers to think what they're doing. It's so important that we all ask the question, is this correct? And keep on asking until you get a reply that's satisfactory. Not just youth, but politicians, military leaders, all have the God-given duty to question what is happening around us today. You see, truth is an absolute. It does not vary because you have the greatest firepower in the world. If it's true for the strongest nation in the world, then it has to be true for the weakest also. If one UN resolution calling for peace has the total might of the organisation to back it up, then so must every other UN resolution calling for peace. When you think of Palestine or Syria, a young American, Martin Luther King, believed that there could not be separate education, separate human rights for the citizens of his country, which would be defined by the colour of their skin. And his conviction cost him his life. Would anybody say he was wrong to defy the established norms of the country in which he lived? A young electrician working in Gdansk in Poland, together with some friends in the church of his land, said to the Soviet Union, "This is not right." They had no dreams of revolution. They didn't want to set up an independent state. They never thought that they would topple the might of such a superpower when they started. It was just a small seed planted on the bedrock of truth. But sadly, all that started did not see it finished. All those who believed in what they were fighting for did not die of old age. And so the prayer we all need to say is, "Lord, give us the courage and the wisdom we need so much, especially in the days in which we're living, where the politically correct agenda would take away what's been fought for and won by those people who have gone before us." So I think the next great conflict for us will be as nation states are made to feel less important, and then we're told how to live in a global village under global organization. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." O risen Lord, O shepherd of the dead, whose cross has brought them and whose staff has led, in glorious hope their proud and sorrowing land commits her children to thy gracious hand. Yes, for those who have gone before us, yes, for those who are going now, and yes, for those who in the future will give these same liberties for those same freedoms. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our offering will now be uplifted. Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we dedicate this offering to you with full and grateful hearts as we recall the many blessings, the many freedoms which today we enjoy because of those who have gone before us and paid that ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. So please use this, but also help us to stand in that same way and to walk in that same way for those generations who will come behind us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our last hymn, and then we'll remain standing and sing the Queen, and then we'll do the benediction. So, O valiant hearts, whom your glory came through dust and conflict, through battle flame. my dear friends, may you go from this house in the sure and certain knowledge of the love of Christ Jesus. May he uplift you when you grow weary. May he support you when you grow tired. May he be forever near you all the days of your life. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you've loved, now and forevermore.